some tough sledding. This is the doctrine portion of Galatians. You remember I said 1 and 2 is kind of this personal testimony and some things along those lines. 3 and 4 is kind of, it's this doctrine. The 5 and 6 is what I call the so what portion. We learn this, so what? Well, this what? This is what we do with what we've learned. You know, a lot of Paul's letters, you know, he goes through like the first 11 chapters of and builds doctrine in the book of Galatians, book of Romans, I mean. And then in chapter 12, okay, you got it all? Now you got this? Okay, now present your body a living sacrifice. You see, there's a so what person, part of scripture like, okay, we got the download, we've learned this, what do we do with this? And I think that's, listen, we can't be weak there. That's James, right? You're a hearer, but you don't actually do it? Well, no. Unacceptable. You know, to know it, well, we all know that. That's not enough. I mean, it's simply not. What do we do with what we know? Okay, so, now, Galatians haven't been good with what they know. You remember in chapter 2, the last verse, I don't frustrate the grace of God. You know, if righteousness comes by the law, Christ is dead in vain. If righteousness comes by the law, what is this Calvary exercise all about? Ask my mom that. One of the few times we talked about, we got far enough, pretty heated discussion all the time when we talked. It was a lot of heat, not a lot of light. God never used me to reach my family. Very, very frustrating. What about this anyway? So you go, you say your rosaries, you go to confession, you go to communion, you go to Mass regularly, you do all these holy things, you light a candle, because we all know candles are holy. And you do all this stuff, and you gain leverage, you get graces. The funny thing, they don't have grace, they have graces. And basically, it's payment. It's the exact opposite of what grace actually is in Scripture. And then they cash them out. Like so many, remember those G&H trading stamps? You get booklets of them, you took them to the, we still have things like that. They got Monopoly and stuff and Shaw's, and you take your little, and you get like a spatula or a bowl, and if you shop at Shaw's enough, you get the whole set. Well, that's kind of how it's set up in the religion I was brought up in. You know, you trade all your graces for points, for time off for good behavior. You get out of purgatory early. You say, not really. Really? Really? And so I said to Mom, I said, what's Calvary all about? Well, that's when Jesus opened the gates of heaven. Get out! A key would have done that. I mean, really, you think like, I guess that is an excruciating death to open a gate? Well, the gates had been closed, you see, and now they're open. That's, okay, all right, show me that verse. I read the Bible through 43 times, but I never said I knew it all. Okay, I might have skipped that. That's a bigger verse there. When Jesus died, the gates of heaven were open and available for. Okay, I'll believe when I see it. It's kind of an important idea. You think God missed? Oh, right. God, I should have put that in Scripture. I forgot. I don't frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, Christ is dead in vain. He don't still stymie your friends. I ask them. So you be a good person, you do more good than bad, you go to heaven. Good people go to heaven. Bad people go to hell, right? Yeah, that's about it. That's how I understand it. Then why did Jesus die? You want to hear somebody, you want to hear blatherskate, drivel, sophistry. There's a lot of words for that, isn't there? What comes out of their mouth after that question? It's all just drivel. It's nonsense. Paul says, hey, I'm not frustrating the grace of God. If there was another way, and we'll see that again today, if there's another way, God would have picked the other way. If righteousness could come by the law, if there was a law that would give us righteousness, would give us eternal life, God would have said, okay. When Jesus said, Father, take this cross away. I don't want it, but your will be done. God would have said, okay, let's go to plan B. His plan B, do this law and live. If there was that, he would have selected that. And Scripture tells us that. Not today, next week. It's the end of chapter 3. We won't get to that. We're not going to get anywhere unless it starts. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Foolish Galatians. Now, we call somebody a fool. That's not a blessing. In the Old Testament, the fool who said in his heart, there is no God. That is not somebody who's mentally deficient. That's somebody who's morally deficient. The fool. It's foolish to pretend that God doesn't exist. And Scripture calls you out on that. This here is not morally deficient. It's mentally deficient. He says, hey, numbskull, is basically what he's saying. And I know, we don't generally like to call it, but he's saying, hey, what's the thought process here? Hello, anybody home? He's really, you know, calling them out on their lack of integrity intellectually. Oh, foolish Galatians. And he means it in the sense of we would call somebody a fool. Who has bewitched you? And now, I like bewitched because it means about bewitched. Who's cast a spell on you? How did this happen? How did you get here? You started off so good, and now what? We have Gentile men out getting circumcised? Are you kidding me right now? Who put a trance over you? How has somebody cast a spell on you? What's going on here? You're not obeying the truth, and that's the problem. And he calls them out on it. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been, it's evident, it's obvious, it's been made plain. Why? Paul got there and he preached that. He preached the cross. He preached Jesus crucified. It was evident. Crucified among you. He wasn't crucified among them. He was set forth as evidently crucified among them. This was the gospel. Hey, the good news, you can have eternal life with God. Well, how does that work? Well, let me tell you. You're a sinner and there's no way you can get to God. There's a big chasm between you and God. But God sent his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. How does that work? He gave him on the cross. He set him forth as evidently crucified among you. That's why chapter 2, verse 21 and chapter 3 is connecting the thought. A lot of these chapter divisions are just arbitrary. I'm glad for them, but they don't, you know, he just wrote a letter. Paul's dictating this to somebody. Paul's got eye problems, all right? He's dictating this to somebody in Amanuensis. Tertius in the Galatians to the Romans. Remember, I, Tertius, who write this epistle, greet thee. So Paul's dictating this to an Amanuensis, right? And he doesn't say, okay, start chapter 3 now. He just verse after verse after verse. Chapter 2, verse 21 connects. Jesus Christ, if righteousness comes by law, Christ is dead in vain. How come you don't know that? What is wrong with that? What are you thinking? I mean, I told you about this. This only what I learned. Am I getting kind of? But I think Paul is not agitated, but excited. Has passion in his voice. This is big doing. This is a crisis of faith. You're going down a wrong road. It's not going to end well. So I think, you know, I'm the same because I've been against it my whole life. I've been personally involved in this my whole life. This is like big. We have this Christmas thing that we do every year. We all get together, me and my brothers, at my brother's house, and we have food. We're going to do that this afternoon. They couldn't make it for Christmas for whatever reason. So I'm going to get together and do that. I'm going to be among people who still believe in this process. Do religious things and go to heaven. I hate it. I hate it with passion. I hate it. It won't work. And we'll see that. It won't work. And so what you got to do is you got to play this game. Well, I don't care. Go to hell. I mean, if you're dead determined, go ahead. Like, there's a problem with that, right? That's not me. That's not you. We can't divorce. So what happens? You just hurt. You just burn internally. You just what else can you do if you love? Hey, I tell you something about love. It hurts. It's the way it is. But you can't be cavalier. You can't divorce yourself from caring. Take the pain, I don't know, and pray and trust God. That's the only thing I know. This is only what I learned from you. Listen, I just want to know one thing, is what he's saying. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? That's such a good question. Yeah, no, there's an ABC to the Spirit. You know, abstain from sin, behave. And you know, you got this whole formula. If you do and you tick all the boxes, then the Spirit comes on you. Yay. Wait, what? Now, I think he's not talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think he's talking here about the receiving of the Spirit that one receives at salvation. That said, you know, because some people talk about the baptism of the Spirit, which I believe in, by the way. Keep continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5. He says that to Christians who already have received the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? You can't get around that. I don't think that. You know, you can see in Scripture where they're filled with the Spirit, Acts chapter 2, and they're filled with the Spirit the same people, Acts chapter 4. Free refills. That's a wonderful program. You got to love that. I love it at Denny's. When I'm half drunk my coffee, she comes around and tops it off. I don't know about you, but I need free refills of the Spirit of God. I do, and I need a 2024 filling of the Spirit of God. 2023, great, thank you, Jesus. That was then, this is now. I need a fresh filling. Hey, but that is, because some people preach it like, well, if you know, you pray through and you tarry and they give you another prescription, a kind of a legalistic. Okay, this is how you get the filling of the Holy Spirit. What? No. No, 1,000 times no. Everything that is important to us from God comes through faith. You don't earn anything. It doesn't work that way. Because you know how it is. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Strut around like we did something great or accomplished something. You monkey, you didn't. God's good. That's the only thing you can say about a situation like that. Who's bewitched you? Who's cast a spell on you? You're thinking these things. Hey, I got a question for you. How did you receive the Holy Spirit? And they would say, you had to have to think, yeah, it was the hearing of faith. I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. And the Spirit of Christ came in and inhabited me. And he's still there. That was a faith thing. That wasn't a work thing. That wasn't I didn't kill anybody, I didn't commit adultery, and then the Holy Spirit came to live in me. Good point, Paul. Are you so foolish? And the word foolish means foolish as you and I would think about it. Mentally deficient. You haven't thought this all the way. He's not talking to stupid people. But what he is talking to, I never talk to stupid people. On the job side, I don't talk to stupid people. They're electricians. They passed a very tough exam to get where they are now. Some of them are in the process of becoming electricians. They're usually, by and large, very bright people. They're foolish sometimes. It's not that they're deficient. They just haven't thought of something. And he's saying the same thing. He's not saying, hey, but think about this. Have you thought this all the way through? I think is the idea. Are you so foolish? You began in the Spirit. Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Wow. That cut me to the quick. I read that. Listen, if that's the way it is. Now, have you done that? Because I kind of have. I think we all take this side road. I was talking about this last week, these little by roads and paths we take. You tried legalism. We all, most of us have, right? We wanted to serve the Lord. We wanted to do it with zeal and enthusiasm. We tried doing that legalistic thing. Point. Get a little matrix on your refrigerator, you know, Bible studies, you know, Monday, check. prayer Monday, check, leading somebody to the Lord. I did witness, so I'm going to give that a half check, okay? And then we look at our refrigerator, we look at somebody else's refrigerator, they think as many checks as we do. We're crushing it. We're doing really good. And again, it's just pride. We started in faith, and then we moved to the flesh. That's foolish, he's saying. Are you going to... Listen, we understand something. We never please God in the flesh. You can't do it. The flesh is... It's fleshy. It's carnal. It's disgusting. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? This is where, this area was Paul was stoned at. Galatia. It's a region, it's not a city, remember. It's a southern Turkey thing. Lystra, Derbe, around there. He's suffering, and others that he's led to the Lord are suffering. There is animus, there is absolute hostility to the gospel of Jesus Christ here, like there is most places. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain? He therefore that, and by the way, I know a little bit about this. You listen to Voice of the Martyrs, right? And I listen to Voice of the Martyrs, and I don't know how many others do, should. Wonderful. Wonderful program. Podcast. There's some notable people. So they were doing 2023, and they were talking about the people who were, you know, taken captive, who were martyred, were killed, were imprisoned, were tortured. I don't pretend to have any of that in my resume. But all that would live godly in Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution. And the reason I don't think we've suffered to that degree, the only reason I think, is because we have this wonderful thing called the Constitution. Praise God, I think he gave that to us. I really do. And they can't do that yet. They will. At some point, that's the trajectory, the way this thing's going. But we've all suffered things. Did we suffer because we were doing legalistic things? Faith never punishes you or comes against you when you're being legalistic. When you're preaching the gospel of faith in Jesus Christ, brace for impact. Bring it. Bring it. I'm not changing. I'm not shutting up. I'm not stopping. I don't care. You know, whatever. You can only kill you once. Don't threaten me with a good time. Don't care. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith? Who's he that works miracles among you and ministers to you the Spirit? Well, I think that would be Paul himself and Timothy and the boys. You know, I don't remember if it was Barnabas. I think it was Barnabas at this point, not Silas. The ones who came and shared the gospel and ministered the Spirit to you. Was that by works of the law? Or was that by faith? It was by faith. I mean, these are rhetorical questions that we know the answer to. I want to flesh them out just and answer them just so that we see them for what they are. Now, he gives an example. Abraham. That the legalists loved Abraham. That's an argument in their favor, so they think. They still do. I tell you, they're still Judaizers. And they still think Abraham's the one. Man, you really want the blessings of Abraham? Well, let me tell you how that's going to work. And so they tell us. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, we read this in Romans chapter 4. But him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And what does he do? He goes and he gives an example of Abraham. Well, he's doing it again. Abraham believed God, and God said, as a righteous man. Why? Because he believed God. Did Abraham keep the law? No. Verse 17, skipping ahead. the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul what it should make the promise of none effect. Verse 16, to Abraham and the seed were promises made. When did the law come? 430 years later. Did Abraham keep the law? Huh? Yeah, he jumped in his time capsule. He went forward in time, grabbed the law from Sinai, or a copy of it, went back in time and kept it, of course. Obviously, right? No, he didn't, obviously. He didn't have the law. And God credited to him for righteousness his faith. Now, are we children of Abraham or not? Well, this is what the rest of the chapter is going to be talking about, a lot of this. Abraham believed God, was accounted to him for righteousness. What does that verse say? It says in chapter 15 when it's talking about the death of Isaac. So Isaac didn't die. He figuratively did. So when God says to him, you know, we read it this week. You remember? God says, I'm going to bless you, Abraham. He says, yeah, okay, but Eliezer of my household, he's the one who's going to inherit it, all my stuff. Lord, are you going to bless me? How about a son? Eliezer is not going to be your heir. Your son's going to come from your own loins. And God, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He believed God in regards to a son. That later on, he figuratively offered to God. Incredible. Incredible. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Dun, dun, dun. Are you a child of Abraham? Yeah. Careful now. Are we Jews? No. Are we children of Abraham? Yeah. Can I ask another question? Are we children of Abraham more than people are of his bloodline descendancy? Yeah, in a way, yeah. Yeah. We don't display. This is Israel. This is the church. That's two separate entities. God's got a plan going forward from here for both. We covered that in the 9th, 10th, and 11th chapters of the book of Romans. We don't have the facility to take it up now, but God's got a plan for Israel. We don't replace Israel. Are we children of Abraham? Yeah. They which are of faith, that's me, that's you, the same are the children of Abraham. What does that mean? It means that the promises of Abraham devolve to us. Now, I'm not a replacement theologian. You all know that. God still has a plan for Israel. It's not a happy plan, I'm afraid. It ends happily. But the time of Jacob's trouble is the time of Jacob's trouble. They're going to get saved. Well, a third of them, two-thirds pass under the rod. We looked at this in Zechariah. There's verses about this. There's a whole thing about this. God's got a plan for his people. He's going to bring them to faith. But in the interim, right now, right here, you're a child of Abraham. By faith. I think that's wonderful. I think that's glorious. I think that's good. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. You've just been called the heathen. How do you like that? I love it. Oh, yeah. You don't know the half of it. I always think, like, something, you heathen, you sinner. I'm like, yeah. You don't even know. Yeah, I don't mind being called heathen. Here it just means Gentile. It just means those without outside the covenant. God had a plan for us. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, how? Through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. That's chapter 12. That's the calling of Abraham. And you shall all the Jews be blessed. No, and you shall all the nations be blessed. How'd that work? Listen, y'all, his name's Jesus Christ, and you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Did you miss the blessing? If you've missed Christ, you've missed the blessing. The big one. The most important one. The big E on the I chart. The blessing. Jesus Christ. Are all nations blessed through Jesus Christ? Yeah. Are all heathen blessed through Jesus Christ? Yeah. Where should that come from? Abraham. Have you received that through faith? receive Christ. That's the point. That's what he's saying. That's what he's getting after. Can you do that by law? No. Most all of my friends think you can. In these shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. They which be of faith. Those which behave and keep law, those who are circumcised, those who wear a kippah, yarmulke, those who observe Sabbath, those who keep Jewish dietary laws, those who say rosaries. Listen, I don't care, whatever one you're familiar with, whatever one you came out of, every religion, they just got their rules, a different methodology to obtain favor with God. They just change the rules, that's all. They change what's important, what's not important. You know, I have friends at work, and I say the law, they have no idea what I'm talking about. They may have a hazy concept of Mount Sinai and the Ten Commandments and everything that was added to that, more than just the Ten Commandments. They may. But when I say the law, they have no idea. But they do in this. I never met somebody who didn't have a law. Atheists have laws. They have a moral code on what's wrong and what's right. Here's a true fact. They don't keep their own laws. None of them. Not all the time. I worship Gaia. Mother Earth is all that there is. And that's so important. Every time I see a piece of litter, I pick it up. That's my moral code. I never miss. Really? You're driving to and from, you see old Dunkin' Donut crust cardboard, cup out of the side, and you stop, you're doing 70 miles on, if you're a law-abiding citizen, and you come to a complete stop and you grab that and put it, really? That's awesome. You're doing a good job. It still won't get you to heaven, but if you really have that much of a code, but people have their own code of ethics, and they don't keep their own code. Because I've heard discussion about that, and I said, well, I think it's wrong to, and then I'll always ask, well, you got to be a man of your word, a principled person. When you say it's your bond, and you've got to stand behind that. I agree. Do you? Well, mostly. And they start telling me about it, and they start to equivocate. Even if you have your own law, that's not based on the Ten Commandments or Torah, it didn't come down from Sinai. You still don't keep your own law. I've only seen it 1,000 times. Let's keep moving. They which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Those which are not of faith are not blessed with faithful Abraham. The opposite, the converse, is also true. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. I have a friend, he's a... and I've said this before, he is a good friend who's a Seventh-day Adventist. I like Seventh-day Adventists, usually. But they have this quirky thing, they worship on Saturday. God bless you, by the way. Worship Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I love God every day of the week, and Sunday's the day we come past, the day where Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, and so that's the kind of day that early on they selected to worship, and that's fine. You want to worship Saturday, just knock yourself out. God bless you. And he's, well, you got to keep the Sabbath, blah, blah, blah. He says, all Ten Commandments are still in force except one, right? Oh, boy, do I like to torture him. Oh, I can do it, too. I can do it, too. I says, you keep Sabbath? He says, of course I do. And it was a couple of years ago, it was the Shemitah. The seventh year, but you can't plant. Well, he loves gardening. Jesus, family, gardening. I mean, he's got the right parts. I love gardening too. I says, you're not planting a garden this year. He says, well, of course I'm planting a garden. Why wouldn't I plant a garden? I said, not during the Shemitah. He says, what are you talking about? I said, the seventh year. Well, you can't. I said, listen, Sabbath keeping is a lot more than what day of the week you abstain from work. There's a whole thing. There's a seven-month thing, a seven-month cycle. There's a seven-year cycle. There's a seven-day cycle. You got that one now. I'll give you that one. What about, because he's telling me how he keeps the law. Oh, you do, huh? Well, you're not planting a garden. You can't plant a garden. Oh, man, did I just like play with him. Are you righteous if you, on the seventh year, if you abstain from planting a garden? No. I mean, no. You're not, listen, I care how well you keep the Sabbath. Sabbath keepers don't go to heaven. And people who break the Sabbath don't go to hell. People go to heaven are those who trust Jesus Christ for salvation by faith. And you've talked to people. Well, I'm just as good as this guy. I don't kill anyone. I don't commit adultery. Well, who says that people who don't commit adultery and don't kill anybody go to heaven? And the person you're comparing yourself to, he's going to hell too. So what's the comparison? You're losing. I'm just as good as he is. Given, he's going to hell, you're going to hell. Great. Well, I'm doing my best. Strike two. Your best is never good enough. We'll find that out right here in this chapter. I'm a good person. Oh, strike three. No one is good. No, not one. How good do you have to be? You have to be perfect. We'll find out in this chapter. If you're a law keeper, this is what it's saying. As many under the works of law are under the curse. Because it's written, cursed is everyone who continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. I would contest to you that I've never murdered anyone. Jesus says, well, if you get angry with somebody, you wanted to murder them. Oh, guilty. But let's say I got to this point in my life and I've never stolen anything. I never stole a cookie from the cookie jar when Mom wasn't looking. I've never stolen anything. I've gone through this whole time without stealing. Yeah, thumbs under suspenders. Look at me. I'm pretty awesome. I mean, never stealing? Come on. Give me some props here. Yeah, but have you lied? Oh, we're going to talk about that. You see what I'm saying? Then this is what the verse is telling us. You got to do everything the law says. 618 laws in the Old Testament. Starts out right in the first chapters of Genesis. Be fruitful and multiply. Have you done that? Bob's saying, amen, got that one covered. Most of us saying, yeah, yeah. Okay, look. What happens if you can't? Did you already disobey? You're already unqualified? Because there are those in Jewish thought, like God has cursed this person, they can't have children. Imagine. Boy, you really need a legalistic person. Imagine you're trying to have children, you're not successful in this fertility issue. You need someone to come along next to you and give you, well, you see, God's not blessing. You must be sinning. You need that person in your life, right? Oh, my goodness. Cursed is everyone that continues not all things are written in the book of law, do them. So I'm talking to my Seventh-day Adventist friend. He thinks he's righteous because he goes to church on Saturday and he doesn't go to work on Sunday. I know another Seventh-day Adventist. I saw him on work the other day, and I haven't seen him in a while. I said, hey, how you doing? He said, good. I said, are you keeping the faith? He goes, oh, yeah, I am. I said, good, good boy, good man. And he said, like, hey, they want us to work on Saturdays. What about that anyway? I said, you got to do what you got to do. You got to be you. You got to do what you got to do. That's the First Amendment to the Constitution. Serious stuff. People died over that. I believe that in my whole heart. I don't think it's to make you righteous, but you have the right to do it as an American. You sure do have the right to keep your freedom of religion. But cursed is everyone that continues not in all things. He went to church on Saturday. But again, did you lie ever? Once, even just once? Did you steal? Did you? And you haven't kept all the law. Don't tell me you have. You know, I always wonder about this. You can't keep the law now if you want to. I am committed to the law. I'm absolutely, from this moment on, forget what happened already, like as if I could, but forget that. From this moment on, I'm going to keep the law. Well, what's your Yom Kippur observance going to look like? You're going to go to the temple? You're going to get a high priest that doesn't exist and by lottery pick a scapegoat and that goes out to, I mean, how do you keep that? What did the Jews do? Much law has to do with their temple. What did the Jews do after the temple was destroyed? They don't keep the law. That's what they do. They get together and they made some decisions. Well, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. We're still going to do Yom Kippur. We'll just blow a trumpet. And all your sins are gone away. What scripture verse tells you to blow a trumpet and all your sins are gone away? How do you keep the law? No one does it. No one does. You got to understand that. Even the best intentioned people, the most observant messianics, the most, you do a lot, but you can't keep all the law. You say, I'm never going to eat ham. Great. Again, let's go to Yom Kippur and talk about that. They blew a trumpet and all your sins have gone away. How does that work? You may do a lot of things, but you got to understand something. It's a chain. You hanging over the abyss by this chain, you only need one link broken, and you're gone forever. Well, in honesty, how many links are actually part of our chain? Are still not corroded and good working? Not at this point in our life. No, come on. But I want you to understand that, because the people say, I haven't committed a murder, I haven't cheated on my wife. By the way, good. Don't. That doesn't make you eligible for heaven. That kind of sets the bar pretty low in one way. You know what I mean? No, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evidence, for the just shall live by faith. And what an important verse. This verse cannot be overstated. Matter of fact, it's stated three times. It's in the book of the Romans, it's in the book of Galatians, and it's in the book of Hebrews. Did Paul write all those? Well, some say he did. By the way, I say he did. I think Paul wrote Hebrews, although it's not signed by Paul. And I think there's reasons for that. We can't get into them now. It takes too long. In Romans, it answers the question, the just shall live by faith. Well, who are the just? Well, that's what the book of Romans is all about. How is a person just? Say, well, what about here in Galatians? It answers the question, how shall you live? By faith, okay? That's what Galatians is all about. Say, well, what about it in Hebrews? That answers the question, what does faith look like? The just shall live by faith. What's faith? What's given to us right before that chapter? It's called the Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11. It gives us examples of the shining faith of those who went before. Incredible. It is from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4. So someone points out, like, well, we know that Paul wrote Hebrews because it's quoting all three. Well, all three of them are quoting Habakkuk, and Paul didn't write Habakkuk. I do believe Paul wrote Hebrews, but for different reasons. But this verse, it changed the trajectory of the world. Young monk on his pilgrimage to Rome almost died crossing the Alps, was nursed back to health, and a wise old monk, friar, brother, whatever they are, said, because he was struggling with, how can a man be justified before God? And this wise old monk said, read Habakkuk and study it and know it. And he came across this verse, the just shall live by faith. Went to Rome and he saw there was a staircase where you climb up it and on your knees and blah, blah, blah. And he realized the utter futility, the silliness of that. Went back to Wittenberg, post 95 theses on the door of, it was October 31st in, I don't know, 15, blah, 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 I don't know, and launched the Protestant Reformation, this verse, that we're all beneficiaries of. Because up to that, the medieval church, they had a lot of rules. And those theses were 95 reasons why buying indulgences, that means time off for good behavior from purgatory, was not biblical. That was the basis of the 95. Wasn't trying to start a referendum, wasn't trying to launch Protestantism, wasn't trying to do anything of that. He thought the church would actually reform. They would look and they would, kind of naive, but they would look and say, huh, boy, yeah, you're right. We missed a couple of things here. Let's change it up. No. You found that out. Now we have to kill you. That's kind of more how this church historically has worked. I got saved. I was born again Catholic for about a year or so, plus or minus. So I grew enough to, because I learned Galatians, things like that. And I was naive enough. I thought I'd go back and I'd talk to my friends. Look at these verses in the Bible, God's Word. Look at this. And they'd say, yes. It's not an intellectually, 7-year-olds understand this easily. You guys, I'm not calling anyone here a 7-year-old, please. You guys get, I'm saying, you know, curses everyone that continues not in all things are written in the book of the law to do them. You're thinking, that's a good point. These things are easily understood. You have to have a degree in theology. You don't have to speak Latin. It's written in plain English. We got it. I was naive too. But this verse, the just shall live by faith, it changed the trajectory of the world, if you ask me. The law is not of faith. The man that doeth them shall live in them. It's a question of doing. It's not a question of believing. It's a question of behaving. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, stoning was the Old Testament way of dealing with egregious sin. And then they would hang him up on a tree or ostensibly or something like that, to show, see how bad this person was and see what will happen to you if you keep up in this, persist in these sinful ways. Jesus did that. He became a curse for us. And in doing that, he redeemed us from the curse of the law. The law is a curse. Now, you know, people want to, you know, obey the law. It's a curse. The law is a curse. We'll learn about it, how it was added, what happened, why it came along, all these things next week. He's setting the groundwork for it. Well, I keep the law. Well, no, you don't. Why? I live by the Sermon on the Mount. No, you definitely don't. The law, it's a curse. Because it says in Deuteronomy, cursed is everyone who's in continuing all things written in this book. That's why Israel, they said, we're going to obey the law. We read it in the book of Joshua. And Joshua says, you can't. He's a holy God. And then, we're going to follow him with all our heart, with all our mind. We get in the book of Judges. What happened? They're not following him. The angel Lord shows up at Bochum and says, how come you so quickly turned away? You remember? You can't keep the law. You just can't do it. It's a curse. You're going to die if you don't keep the law that you can't keep. And Jesus, this is a place for an amen if you've been holding it in. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Because it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. The law was never given to Gentiles. You know that, right? The children of Israel come out of Egypt, right? The children of Israel. There's 12 tribes, 13, right? If you break Joseph into Ephraim and Manasseh. They're all Jewish. They all look back to Abraham, to Isaac, and then to Jacob, and then to Jacob's 12 sons. They come out of one of those tribes. They're all Jewish. Oh, they have a few people who came out with Egypt. Okay, from Egypt. Good enough. But the Jews. Chinese people never got the law. Neither did Peruvians. Neither did Alaskan Aleuts or whatever indigenous people are there. No one got it. Israel got it. But the blessing of Abraham comes to the Gentiles, not through the law, through Jesus Christ. that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And that's why, you Galatians, you're so foolish. Wait, wouldn't somebody cast a spell on you? Now, I wanted to get to verse 15, but I'll leave that. We're going to look at Abraham, and we're going to look at the promises, and we're going to go from there and look at the rest of the chapter. I'm kind of glad we broke it in two, because I never would have got it. But enough. We got a taste of it, right? Our righteousness is not depending on our keeping the law. Let me just say this quick. So, Adam, you're saying that I can commit adultery and still go to heaven? I mean, let's cut to the chase. Yes, I'm saying that. Wait. You say I can steal and still go to heaven? Yes, I'm saying that. I'm not saying it's a good idea in either case. I'm not saying you commit adultery and still be happily married. If you're have an office in this church, we're going to ask you to resign from that office. I'm not going to say your marriage is still going to continue. I'm not going to say you're not going to get a disease. I'm not going to say there's not going to be unwanted pregnancy involved. I'm just going to say you can go to heaven. You don't go to heaven by not committing adultery. That said, choose to sin, choose to suffer. You're saying I can go to heaven? I can steal something, still go to heaven? I'm absolutely saying that. I'm not saying that you're not going to go to jail. You're not going to get prosecuted for shoplifting. I'm not going to say you're not going to go to jail for grand theft auto. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you can go to heaven. You don't go to heaven by not stealing. No, don't sin. That's what chapter 5 and 6 are about. I've got this glorious filling of the Spirit of God. I don't have to keep the law, but I do have to follow hard after the Spirit. I do want to do that, okay? There is a so what portion of this. We haven't got there yet. But I just want you to understand this. We don't go to heaven by keeping the law. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ has saved us from that. It's a curse. Because if you don't continue in all the law, which you can't do anyway, which you haven't done anyway, which I certainly haven't done anyway, there's no penalty in the sense that Jesus Christ paid the penalty. That said, choose to sin, choose to suffer, still there, still in play. But anyway, let's stand. We'll pray. Our worship team will come, and we'll go out of here and song.